Welcome to the Prioritizing Prevention, Translating Science to Practice podcast. Our goal is to prioritize prevention conversations that matter. Our topic for today is driving maternal mental health support through healthcare partnerships with special guests, Tony Ashton and Christy Fisher. Now here's our host, Dr. Holly Raffel.
Hello, everyone. Let's dive into Episode 5, Season 3 of Prioritizing Prevention, Translating Science to Practice. I'm Holly Raffel, and it's my honor to serve as the Faculty Director of the Ohio Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion, bringing you this podcast. Every month, we shine a light on a different facet of our community, and for June, our focus is squarely on the healthcare sector. Think about it. Physicians, nurses, mental health practitioners, dentists, therapists, public health professionals, dietitians, these are frontline heroes. They're often the first people individuals encountering mental, emotional, and behavioral health struggles turn to. They're the ones providing diagnoses, offering services, and directing folks to essential support. Given their critical position, this episode is dedicated to the National Maternal Mental Health Hotline. We'll be examining the powerful ways preventionists can collaborate with healthcare professionals to ensure this vital resource connects with families who need it most. And that's why I'm incredibly excited to bring you a conversation today with two amazing individuals. They'll be diving into the critical importance of raising awareness for the National Maternal Mental Health Hotline and sharing concrete strategies for partnering with healthcare professionals to champion this vital resource. I'm absolutely thrilled to introduce our listeners to Tony Ashton from the Fairfield County AdMH Board and Christy Fisher with the Ashtabula County Mental Health Recovery Services Board. Just a quick note for transparency. I've had the immense privilege of collaborating with Tony on this HRSA-funded initiative since September of 2018, and Christy joined us on the initiative in 2024. For those of you interested in learning more about the Communities of Practice Rural Community Opioid Response Program, you'll find a direct link in our show notes. On to the show. First up, we have Tony Ashton, the Prevention and Community Manager for the Fairfield County AdMH Board. Tony is a powerhouse, leading both the Fairfield County PART Coalition, that's Prevention, Advocacy, Recovery, and Treatment, and the Fairfield County Suicide Coalition. She's also instrumental in facilitating crisis intervention training for local law enforcement officers and is a certified trainer for mental health first aid, QPR, trauma-informed care, and Parent Project. With years of experience, Tony's true genius lies in her ability to unite people of all ages and backgrounds, fostering creative and positive programming. And this was recognized in 2024 when Tony was named as a recipient of the Public Health Guardian Award from the Fairfield County Health Department. Welcome, Tony. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. I am so happy to be here.
And joining us from Ashtabula County Mental Health and Recovery Services Board is Christy Fisher, their Director of Prevention and Community Engagement since January 2024. Christy brings a wealth of knowledge, holding a Bachelor of Science degree from Kent State University, which she earned in 2006. Before her current role, she served as the Program Services Coordinator for the Ashtabula County Community Action Agency and previously as a caseworker at Ashtabula County Children's Services Board. All told, Christy has over 17 years of invaluable experience in public service, including social services and behavioral health. Welcome, Christy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, our listeners absolutely love getting to know our guests beyond their bio. So we've carved out a special moment here at the top of the show for you both to share a little bit about who you are beyond what I just read and what's on paper. So feel free to give us a glimpse into what your work looks like on a daily basis, what part of it truly lights you up, or even a personal nugget about who you are as a person. Let's start with Christy.
So why I do this job, I always think of my why. It's just my passion for helping people, seeing the resiliency that people have, and offering them hope is just one of my biggest drives doing this job. Also, I am a mom myself, a mom and stepmom, and of 5 kids. So I am very busy and in the community. And also, I am an avid golf player. So just a little bit about myself.
Thanks, Christy. And now let's hear from Tony.
I would say that I have worked in the social service field for my whole career, which has been a really long career, in a variety of positions. I am a licensed social worker. I also am an Ohio certified prevention consultant. I've worked in the prevention field, I would say, for about the last 25 years. And like Christy said, this is where I live. This is what I love. My typical day at work is never a typical day. Right when I think I might have a typical day, something happens, something pops up. I go to a lot of meetings. I host a lot of meetings. I attend as a partner a lot of meetings. So a lot of interaction with many people, agencies, and organizations in Fairfield County. I would say my favorite part of what I do or what my job is to bring people together from different areas, different fields that have a shared light or issue or a shared vision for something that needs to happen, and to be able to work together to make that happen with a group.
Thank you, Tony and Christy, for giving us a little peek behind your service to the communities that you are a part of. We're here today to talk about the National Maternal Mental Health Hotline. It burst onto the scene in May 2022, offering a lifeline to pregnant and postpartum individuals and their families. This isn't just any hotline. It's free, confidential, and around-the-clock support system, providing everything from emotional counseling and mental health referrals, critical crisis intervention, all available in multiple languages. By actively working to reduce maternal anxiety, depression, and burnout, this hotline is fostering safer parenting practices and ultimately stronger mother-infant bonds. This support is especially critical right here in Ohio. The 2023 Infant Mortality Annual Report painted a stark picture, revealing Ohio's overall infant mortality rate at 7.1 infant deaths per 1,000 live births. That's significantly above the national target of 6 or fewer. To tackle this profound issue head-on, Ohio boasts a number of large and robust infant mortality programs across the state, including initiatives like Cradle Cincinnati, Celebrate One in Columbus, and Moms First, First Year Cleveland, and Birthing Beautiful Communities in Cleveland. This hotline is another essential piece of that puzzle. And listeners, don't worry. As always, the amazing podcast team will put links to all of those programs in the show notes so you can catch them there. So to start us off, can you each share how you first became aware of the National Maternal Mental Health Hotline? Let's start with Tony.
Our coalition, local coalition, works with a larger consortium through a federal grant, and we actually first started talking about stigma in our communities and what stigma looks like. And we were able to do a survey around mental health and substance use disorder in our communities to try and get some information on stigma. And what stands out to me is that the community shared that the people that were most stigmatizing were healthcare workers, behavioral health workers, doctors. So it's really something to try and take a look at as you're trying to lower stigma, reduce stigma in your communities. When we started looking at the maternal mental health hotline, it seemed a good place to start working on stigma with our healthcare professionals and just really to look at stigma in any activity that we participated in as a coalition.
Christy, how about you? How did you become aware of the National Maternal Mental Health Hotline?
Well, I came to Ashford County Mental Health Coverage Services Board in January 2024 So we already started promoting the hotline when I came to work here. And I got to see all the good items that we were handing out. There was different swag items and cups. So I remember talking, you know, with my coworkers about it, and they explained what it was. And, you know, I thought it was wonderful and that, you know, I knew we needed to get this information out there. So we did have all these items, and looking it over, the first thing that I got to promote was a community baby shower. So, you know, just reading about the National Maternal Mental Health Hotline, why we needed it, and understanding why it was important in our community, which was very important. And a lot of people didn't know about it at the time. So I kind of got to be on the front lines of promoting it and getting it started and getting the word out there, which we've been doing ever since. So, I think just starting to work here and getting to kind of take it firsthand and take off with it to help promote it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And all of the infant mortality initiatives that we mentioned in the intro were located in three C's: Cincinnati, Columbus, and Cleveland. But you both live in communities that are either predominantly or entirely rural. So how does the hotline connect to the work that you're doing in the counties you serve? Christy, I know Ashtabula is entirely rural. So how do you see that supporting rural moms and families?
I think living in our community, because it's so rural, sometimes they don't have connections or support like you would in other cities or big programs, support groups that you can go to. So just having a hotline that they can actually call and reach out is very vital. There's a lot of times in my past work, working with families, that I would go into a home and realize that they didn't have big families or friends or support or people that could call on just so they could ask questions to when they, you know, just had a baby. Also, you know, we don't have a ton of doctor's offices. We don't have a maternity ward here now in the county. So that kind of makes things more difficult. If something were to happen, you know, who would they reach out to? So definitely not having that big city atmosphere kind of makes things a little, you know, it's a struggle for people to get that support. And that's, I think that's why it's very crucial to have something that they can reach out to.
Thank you. And Tony, Fairfield County is a little more mixed, so it's not entirely rural like Ashtabula, but you do have rural areas. So how does the hotline connect to Fairfield County rurally and as a whole, do you think?
So I would say that similar to what Christy said, that the folks that live out in the rural areas, it's a little more difficult to be able to get services. It also, the services that might be there can be stigmatizing, that the communities are so small that if they see someone go into a specific office, there is a lot of talk and gossip. And so it is, I think, really important to have some way to get the support that is more anonymous in nature and less stigmatizing for people in rural areas.
Absolutely. And given the critical statistics we just discussed, particularly Ohio's infant mortality rate, why is it essential for preventionists to not just be aware of, but actively get involved in promoting the National Maternal Mental Health Hotline? Tony, what would you tell your prevention specialist colleagues?
That the information is valuable, that it's education, it is helpful not only to the mom, the pregnant mom or the postpartum mom, but also to those people that support her. A lot of times, maybe that support person would be the one to see some signs or symptoms or have concerns, and they can also use the hotline to be able to talk with someone.
Thank you. And Christine, from your experience, you know, taking the hotline out to the community, what kind of training, information, or resources do you feel are most beneficial for health professionals to have to feel confident and equipped to promote the hotline effectively?
I think just reminding them that people might not always seek help, like Tony said, could be stigmatizing. Sometimes doctor's offices think or health professionals think they might just come to them, but they might not because of the stigma or might be too scared to bring up something that they're struggling with. So I think just promoting that there is somewhere else that they could call and might direct them to services after that, or, you know, they can talk it through to somebody. So it's just like another lifeline for the moms who might be at the home. Sometimes they might not have transportation either to get to different places to get help. So it's, you know, vital in our county when we don't have public transportation that there is another outlet or someone, you know, somewhere for them to call. And for doctor's offices to recognize that, or healthcare professionals that are working with the family, you know, just another tool that they can use to help support the mom, the family, even caregivers that are raising children, you know, who might not have before.
Absolutely. So it's not like we're expecting the hotline to take the place of those local professionals. It's more to support them, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Tony, you've led collaborative coalitions, facilitated crisis intervention training for law enforcement, and just provided QPR trainings and other things in general. So in what ways could you see the hotline being introduced or promoted through these channels or similar community partnerships?
So I think it's important to be able to provide information and access to any group that I would train or any meeting that I would attend. We pass out the National Maternal Mental Health Hotline information. I have it available at every coalition meeting so that people can pick up magnets or cards or posters and take back to their agencies and organizations. When I do QPR, that's also a good place to put the information out. We've tried to do a lot of education around 988. And so this is just another resource for people that they would be able to call with the hotline and really helpful for that specific population, for moms, pregnant moms, postpartum moms that might feel like they should be happy, but maybe they aren't so happy. And sometimes that's even hard to share that information with your partner or your support person. But to be able to have a hotline that you can call and talk about, I think just is the most helpful way for people to get the help they need.
And thinking about the stigma associated with it, or just the feelings that are evoked when I'm not happy and when I'm supposed to be happy. That kind of makes me wonder, Christy, you have an extensive background in social services and children's services. So how do you see the hotline supporting families you served in the past or the communities you're engaging with now through prevention work?
Well, I know working firsthand, a lot of moms and families, like I said, they didn't always have the support that you would think. And they might not have anybody to tell them that it's okay to feel overwhelmed. It's okay, you know, to be struggling at times and to reach out to somebody. And they might not have that somebody to reach out to just, you know, be able to talk to, ask questions, make sure, you know, things are going okay. And that was a big eye-opening for me, you know, coming from a big family and having that support that other people didn't have that. And who else would they reach out to? And sometimes they don't want to tell their friends or family even too, because they might be embarrassed or feel ashamed that they're not handling things the way they thought they were going to. And also just knowledge. They might not have education about taking care of, you know, a new baby or know when to feed them or know, you know, what's supposed to be expected. And they might get nervous, you know. So I think a lot of moms get nervous not to know what's right, or they might get anxious not knowing if something's going on with their baby that they're not aware of. So I think having a hotline and knowing, well, I can call this number, I can talk to somebody, I can work through my feelings, I can ask some questions, you know, is going to be really comforting for a lot of moms. I've talked directly to our Women, Infants, and Children's program, and they said it's been a, you know, people have asked about the number, asked questions, and also stated that they have called. And you know, loved it. Loved knowing that they had somewhere to go. And being that it's 24/7 too, because moms don't always sleep when you have a new baby. So sometimes, you know, some of your most critical times where you're feeling overwhelmed could be in the middle of the night. I know I have felt that way before. And when you're tired and frustrated or, you know, just feeling, you know, overwhelmed. So having somewhere to call when you don't want to call everybody else is, you know, pretty critical, I think, for any mom.
Absolutely. And thank you, Christy and Tony, for helping us explore the fundamental why the National Maternal Mental Health Hotline is a useful and needed resource. So let's dive into the how. For preventionists, partnering with healthcare professionals is a powerful way to promote critical resources like the National Maternal Mental Health Hotline. But building these meaningful connections takes more than just good intentions. It requires strategy, persistence, and mutual understanding. I know our listeners are going to be eager to hear your approaches for initiating and nurturing relationships with healthcare professionals so that they trust you as a source for prevention resources like the hotline. And can help you promote those to their clients or patients. So for our listeners looking to forge a new partnership with a local hospital, a clinic, an individual physician's office, the WIC, Women and Children's Program, what's a realistic first step to initiate that connection and begin building trust? Christy, since you mentioned WIC, let's start with you.
Well, I used to work at Asheville County Community Action, so I did know some people in WIC, which did help with the networking part. But when doing the hotline, it was talking to them about it. I connected with them. I went and met with them, and also giving them some items that they could give out to their mothers or caregivers that had the hotline on it. So having something that they could hand out to the moms really helped. They're appreciative of it. And something that they can give to their moms that they don't always get to have. And the other thing was just healthcare. I was just thinking, working with the hospitals. I partnered with one of their outreach specialists for the hospital, and she actually takes me along to all the doctor's offices in the county from that hospital. And we just stop in. They don't have a lot of time. I'm usually meeting with the front desk. But I give them information. I give them stickers. I give them, they love the tissue box. We had tissue boxes with the number on it. And they put that all out, you know, in their lobby so the moms can see that. And also posters. So I just drop by like every 3 months. We kind of have a schedule and I just go every 3 months. And now they're getting used to seeing me and know that I'm going to come and bring them some information or some new items that they could hand out. So that's been pretty helpful too.
And Tony, I know you've been working in Fairfield County for an extended period of time. Were there any new partnerships you had to forge? And if so, how did you do that?
So, yes, there were some new partnerships. And so if I did not know the person that was in charge of, for example, the perinatal cluster, I tried to find someone that we had a mutual friend, and I would ask them to introduce me, or I would ask to come to a meeting and have just a few minutes on the agenda to talk about the hotline. And like Christy said, we had a lot of branded assets that we could give to people that they thought were wonderful, and they wanted to be able to give those out to the moms that they work with. So it was fairly easy, I think, just because I'm familiar with the agencies and organizations. We do have a couple providers that work with the ADAM board that work specifically with moms with substance use disorder. So that was a great group to make sure they had the information on the hotline. There's another program through the ADAM board called Teens with TOTS that work with young teens that are pregnant or after giving birth. And so giving that information out to them was also, I think, just really helpful. Any place I thought of that there would be the potential to have moms, postpartum moms, or people that support moms, I would try and access. I think the important part is building relationships. So you have to start out by building that relationship. And then that can lead to lots of other things, lots of other programs, lots of other information and education.
And we've talked a lot about the successes that you both have had. So what challenges have you encountered when trying to build relationships and establish trust within the healthcare sector as you worked on the National Maternal Mental Health Hotline project? Did either of you have challenges?
So I don't know that I had challenges, because I think that if a barrier came up, I would just find another way to work around it. I don't remember that any organization or agency that I contacted said, no, we don't want your information. So I think people were really positive. They did have questions about what actually is this, who is actually answering the phone, are they trained professionals, can I ask them any question? So those type of questions, I think, are easy to answer and work through so that they feel comfortable.
How about you, Christy?
I don't think it's really challenges, but with any agency I could think of, but there is challenges with reaching people in the community that do live farther out, more southern and spread out. Because there isn't a lot of agencies in our southern part of our county, and trying to make sure, are we still reaching, you know, that population or the people who don't live, you know, we call it the bigger city, but it's not that big in Ashtabula, but just, you know, that are around more the agencies that are seeing some of the stuff that we're handing out. So that, you know, I had to be, you know, I did reach out to churches too. I got some of the faith-based organizations and gave out information to them so they can get out to their congregations. Just asking different people, maybe agencies that, you know, we didn't always talk to or work with consistently. I think my biggest challenge is just continuing trying to make sure we're reaching as many people as we can in the community who might not, you know, be a part of those agencies that we work with every day.
Thanks. And thanks for mentioning the faith-based community. Tony, I'm remembering you all forged a relationship with childcare. Am I remembering correctly?
Yes, we did some community events at childcare, like Kitty Academy was one, that they invited us to come and share information. And so that was a really good fit, because we had lots of people that were looking for childcare for their young children, but they were also pregnant or had new babies, and the whole family came. So that was great. I think any time that we can work with a childcare facility is just a great asset.
So thinking specifically about maternal mental health, what kinds of practical strategies have you seen or done work well for getting the National Maternal Mental Health Hotline out into the community? Christy, let's start with you.
I think, like we've been talking about, just reaching out to those agencies that already work with the population. And I think social media has helped a lot. Doing stuff on Facebook, I think that's helped reach people who we didn't think we could always reach or might not live in areas that have a lot of these agencies around them. I think just working with the agencies would be the best.
How about you, Tony? What suggestions do you have for our listeners, just practical strategies?
So we do a lot of community events, and we typically have an idea of who the target audience is for that event. For example, we did an event, a Healthy Kids Day event at our YMCA. So we knew that there would be families there and that there would be kids there. And it was right around Mother's Day. And so we attended that event, and I had the Maternal Mental Health Hotline business cards, And for Mother's Day, I attached a small flower lapel pin to it. And people loved them. And they understood that it was about the hotline. And many of the moms would say, hey, my friend is pregnant. Can I take one for her? Or my sister just had a baby. Can I take one for her? So that went over so well. We also did a movie night. We have a once a month movie night downtown outside. Again, lots of families, lots of kids, and passed out the cards with the lapel pins, the flower pins, and people loved them. We've had two community baby showers. Again, those are moms either pregnant or that have newborns, and to be able to have them at a community baby shower. And our community baby shower also did an educational presentation on postpartum depression, which was a great fit. And they also did a craft. It was a fun time for moms. And they could bring their support people with them. So we also did an asset for support people that said, basically, support a mama with the hotline number on it so that everybody's included in having access to the hotline.
And speaking of branded assets, what branded assets have you found to be most effective to share with healthcare professionals, either for their own use or for distribution to their patients, specifically regarding the National Maternal Mental Health Hotline?
So I think we did some blankets right around Christmas time, and we're able to distribute those through our agencies and organizations. And it was just such a good fit because it was winter and they were nice, cozy blankets. And it was Christmas. And the all of the professionals that I gave them to distribute to moms loved them. And the feedback we received were that moms loved them too.
How about you, Christy?
When working with like the doctor's office and healthcare providers, I found that the tissue boxes that we had and the medicine dosing spoons, they really appreciated that because that was easy to give out to their patients. And they would just put out, you know, the tissue boxes all over the waiting rooms. So while you're sitting there waiting, I mean, you would see the hotline number. And they said they even had people that would come and ask them about it. And, you know, if the hotline was free, if it was available for anybody. And then because I talked to them about it, they were able to answer some questions and provide them that. But they found that that's like the biggest feedback because, you know, I'm going to be going back there next month to a lot of the doctor's offices and they want more tissues and dosing spoons. So we're able to provide that for them.
Absolutely. So it's important to think about what branded assets people want and what they're going to keep around for a long time. So thank you both for thinking through that with your communities. I could have this conversation forever with all of you, but it's time to park this bus. But before we go, we always love to wrap things up on a lighter note with a few this or that questions and just your quick thoughts. No right or wrong answers here. And we try to keep them in with our theme for the day. So we'll start with Christy. So Christy, when it comes to spreading awareness of vital resources like the National Maternal Mental Health Hotline across the whole community, do you find more impact in large-scale public awareness campaigns or targeted partnerships with trusted local organizations and leaders?
I say targeted.
How about you, Tony?
So I think it has to be both. It has to be both.
Fair enough. Absolutely. And Tony, for this one, we'll start with you. For building resilient communities and preventing mental health challenges before they start, do you prioritize universal prevention programs aimed at broad populations or selective prevention strategies focusing on a group at risk?
I would say universal for what I do here at the Adam Borden General. Universal.
How about you, Christy?
I say universal too.
Now, this final question we ask to all of our guests. You're reaching into that candy dish full of M&Ms. Christy, are you searching for plain or peanut?
Peanut, for sure.
How about you, Tony?
I would say peanut, and I would like it best baked in a cookie.
that is the first time we've had that. So me too. Christy and Tony, thank you so much for sharing your time, your experience, and your expertise with us. Thank you to our listeners for joining us on the Ohio Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion podcast, Prioritizing Prevention. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help support the podcast, please consider giving us a 5-star rating, sharing it with others, posting about it on social media, or setting the podcast to automatically download on your favorite channel. Doing so helps us reach more listeners and keeps the conversation going. To catch all the latest from the center, follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, X, and Facebook at OH Prevention COE, or visit us at preventioncoe.ohio.gov to sign up for our monthly newsletter. If you missed our last podcast, it was a gem. We spoke with Daniel Bennett, director of statewide prevention and expansion at the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation, and Kelly Berry, the senior program manager at 1 in 5. In this discussion, we recognized the unique mental health challenges faced by men and identified actionable strategies, resources, and best practices that support men's mental health and workplace well-being. This podcast was produced by the amazing Ivory Lloyd at Global Insight Productions and is supported by the equally amazing Zhe Zhang and Jen Morel at the Ohio Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion. Without you, we couldn't have this podcast, and thank you for all your work to get positive prevention content out into the world.
This has been the Prioritizing Prevention podcast. For more episodes, you can visit us on Spotify, YouTube, Google Play, Apple Music, and many more. This program is funded by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. For more information about us, please visit preventioncoe.ohio.gov. Thank you for listening.